We'll be looking at several different passages of Scripture this Easter Sunday, so if you've not yet downloaded the sermon notes, there's a link in the comment description section where you can download the notes and follow along with the Scriptures, as well as the outline today. Last Easter Sunday afternoon, I was in communication with the owner of the condo where we vacation, and I asked him how they were doing, and this was his reply. This is an email exchange with him. "We gave thanks for the teachings of Jesus Christ. I especially ponder the ripple in the pond that the resurrection taught so many people." Oh, that phrase caught my attention, the ripple in the pond. And so I responded back to him, "I like ripple in the pond. Do you have any specifics in your mind? You may well have given me the title for next Easter." And he replied, "That's a long answer, Pastor Ken. There are many interpretations of Jesus rising and what it meant to different people. It means there's more to God than we can ever imagine. It means we have a purpose. A single person, a single event, a story that's been retold for thousands of years. There's just so much that has been learned and expounded. A whole New Testament had to be written. He was the stone cast into the pond." Oh, I like that. And so, Carl, here's your credit. I told you I'd give you credit. Because that interchange and that the ripples in the pond. Oh, yes, there's next Easter's lesson. Resurrection ripples. And you know what he's talking about. If you've ever been to a pond and you've cast a stone in it and the ripples go out. We're going to look today at just some of the resurrection ripples. First, resurrection ripples changed the calendar. Now, if you studied world history or history of civilization in school, you know that there was BC and AD. Well, what did BC stand for? Before cars or before COVID? You know, it feels like we should have a calendar before COVID, doesn't it? Yeah. But no. BC stands for before Christ. Because when Christ was born, the Gregorian calendar changed from BC to AD. And the AD is Latin, anno domini, which means in the year of our Lord. Sometimes you'll see a legal document or you hear somebody say, in the year of our Lord, 2024, yeah, that's because the calendar changed because of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. AD started the year when they figured Jesus was born. The best they can tell from the different events that were surrounding it was like the first year of AD. So every time you write the date, you are given testimony to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because AD is based on the approximate year of Jesus' birth. And you gotta know that every time an atheist, every time a skeptic, every time an agnostic writes the date, God's just smiling. Because every time you write the date, you are giving testimony that there was a man named Jesus who lived and died and rose again. Don't ever look at the calendar the same. Resurrection ripples changed the calendar. Resurrection ripples changed society. We read Matthew's Easter account. Here's Mark's. It's in your notes from Mark 16. This is the angel at the tomb speaking to the women. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, I'm sure that the magnitude of the event that they had just experienced was part of the reason that they were trembling and afraid. But there was something deeper than that. Because the angel has given these women the task of telling the male disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. That doesn't mean anything to us in 2024. It meant a huge lot to those women in about AD 30 or 33. Because there was a Jewish blessing that the rabbis prayed every morning. And part of it was, "Blessed art thou, O God, for not making me a woman." Because women were second-class citizens before Christ came on the scene. In the temple, there was a separate court of the women. They weren't even allowed to fully participate in the community of faith. And I want to encourage you with that background. Sometime when you're reading through the New Testament, slow down in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and watch how Jesus related to the women. They were second-class citizens in those days. You may remember sometimes that he would stop and talk to her. She said, "What are you doing talking to me?" But you watch how Jesus treated women with kindness and compassion and respect. Jesus raised the role of women in that society. And true Christianity has done that everywhere it has spread. If you will objectively study the history of the world and the role of women in those societies, you will find that every place true biblical Christianity has impacted a society, the role of women has been elevated in that society. And by the way, just parenthetically, this is another reason why we can trust the resurrection accounts to be true. Because women in those days were not even considered reliable witnesses in court. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus, who lived contemporary to Christ, said that groups of women, the testimony of multiple women, was not acceptable in those courts. So what you have is the resurrection story being told first to women. And the women are given the privilege and the responsibility of being the witnesses to the male disciples that Jesus has risen. See, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had wanted to just make up a story, because you hear people say, "Ah, the resurrection is just something made up." Well, if they had made that up, they would not have included the women as witnesses, because in that society, women were not trusted to be the witnesses. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were just putting together a fable, they would have made themselves the hero. And if they'd have mentioned the women at all, it would have been just in passing. But here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John admitting that they are hiding in fear, and the women come to tell them. Now, Luke's account, Luke says, the words seemed like nonsense to the men, you know, and they weren't sure. And so Peter said, "We need to go find out for ourselves." But the fact that the women are the first witnesses to the resurrection is another indication of the trustworthiness of Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John's account of the resurrection. Because the only reason they would have put the women in there in that high profile role was if that's what had happened. Because again, women were not trusted as witnesses. So these men are saying, well, it was the women that were the witnesses to the resurrection. And no wonder they were afraid. But Jesus changed society. The resurrection ripples changed how society treated women wherever biblical Christianity went. Third, resurrection ripples resolved my separation from God. And this is the crux of the matter. See, we were created to have fellowship with God. You may remember Genesis, Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the evening, and God coming down and walking with them. I have often wondered, have you ever wondered what those conversations must have been like? Adam and Eve and God just taking a walk through the garden. You know, the Bible says that Adam named all the animals. The owner of God said, Adam, how in the world did you come up with rhinoceros for that? You know, but you know, you're just hanging out. Man was created for that fellowship, but our sin, Genesis chapter 3, when we disobeyed God, that fellowship was broken, and we were separated from God. And the Bible says that blood, and I don't understand it, but the Bible says that blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And for a human to be forgiven of our sins, the blood of a perfect human had to be shed on our behalf. Which is why Jesus came from heaven to earth to live as a perfect human with no sin, so that he could die in our place and pay the price for our sins. And our sins can only be forgiven because Jesus was God's Son and died for our sins. But if he had not risen, then he was not God's Son. Paul says, Christ was proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. And you hear me say every year that if Jesus is still in the tomb today, he was not God's Son. And if he was not God's Son, then his death did not pay for our sins. And as Paul said, we are still in our sins, and we are most miserable. So because of the resurrection, we have the proof that Jesus is God's Son, and therefore the assurance that his death paid the price for our sins. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Resurrection ripples resolved my separation from God. People throughout history have tried all kinds of things to get back into fellowship with God. St. Augustine put it well when he said, in essence, there is a God-shaped hole in our soul, and we will never be at peace until we find our peace with God. Only a personal connection to God can resolve that separation. And that's because of the resurrection. Resurrection ripples reach to every place believers are buried, whether that's a cemetery or a mausoleum, or their cremains are in an urn on your mantelpiece. Wherever Christians are put to rest, resurrection ripples are going to reach to that place. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. And in case you wonder what first fruits means, it means there's more to come. The first fruit always means more to come. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, so will I. Resurrection ripples mean that I know this life is not all there is. I know death is not the end. I know there's a resurrection. Resurrection ripples reach to every graveside service I do for a believer. Funerals are not easy. I do not enjoy them. I do not like to do them. But if it's a funeral service for a believer, I'm happy at that graveside to be able to say, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection and a future reunion day. Because of Easter, I know this life is not all there is. Because of Easter, I know that I will see my loved ones who have gone on before. And man, we have had some saints of God move through Open Door through the years. And it's so good to know we're going to see them again. Because of Easter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another, comfort one another with these words. It's because of Easter, because of the ripples of the resurrection, that we have hope. And resurrection ripples reach out to the challenging, confusing days in which we live. Resurrection is not just about something that happened in the past. Resurrection is not just something that's going to happen in the future. Resurrection power is available for us. The Bible says that he has raised us through resurrection power. Back to those verses in Matthew 28. The women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And on the way, they meet Jesus, and he tells them, don't be afraid. And he uses the same word that verse 8 used to describe that they were afraid. He says, don't be afraid. You go tell my brothers to head into Galilee. I'm going to meet them there. That's an incredible phrase, afraid, yet filled with joy. You do know it's possible to be both, right? To be afraid, yet filled with joy. The word afraid there has with it the idea of being hesitant. Again, because they're called to be witnesses to the greatest event in history, and they weren't even allowed to testify to in a court of law. But yet there was joy and delight because somehow they understood something of great magnitude has happened. Jesus is risen. And again, Mark 16, the angel saying, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. That's a whole other sermon. Remember, Peter had denied him, but he said, you make sure you tell Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. If I were more creative, I would come up with a sermon for Easter Sunday called Trembling, Bewildered, and Afraid. Because that's what the first witnesses to Easter were. Hang on to those words, trembling. That word was used in the first century to describe somebody who was not sure that they had the ability to do what they had been asked to do. The word bewildered, the King James uses the word amazed, means that because of the magnitude of what was happening, they were just kind of, you know, staggered. And the word afraid there does not mean, you know, I'm afraid of the dark or afraid of, you know, snakes or whatever. It has with it the idea of reverence, awe, you know, the fear of God, being in awe and wonder. So you've got this mixture of emotions that Easter brought in the first century. They were trembling because they weren't sure they were able to do what they were called to do. They were bewildered. What has just happened? You know, we've gone, remember now, Jesus was taken down from the cross toward the evening. He's laid in this tomb. They did not have time to finish embalming his body. And so that's what they were going to the tomb for on the first day of the week, to finish embalming the body. And they get there, and you remember on the way they're saying, who's going to roll the stone away? We know there's this huge stone there. How are we going to get it gone? Well, the angel took care of that. And they walk in, and the grave clothes are folded on the slab where his body was, and there's no body in the grave. No wonder they're bewildered. What's happening here? But in the midst of it, there's this sense of awe and wonder. that I may not understand it all, but man, something special has happened here. And this morning, I want to focus in on the word trembling. Because again, that's the idea that I don't have the ability to do what I've been asked to do. How many times this week did you feel that? I don't have what it takes. It may be in a relationship. I don't know that I have what it takes. I don't know if I'm able to manage this. It might be at school. I don't know if I'm able to manage the pressures or the bullying or the teachers or whatever. I don't know if I'm able to handle this. It might be on your job where it seems like they keep putting more demands and less help. And it's like, I don't know if I'm able to handle this. It might be just getting out of bed in the morning. I don't know if I'm able to face another day. Trembling. I don't know that I'm able to do it. Here's what Easter tells you. Yes, you can. You are able because Jesus in you is able. And we don't live in our own power. We live in the resurrection power. The resurrection ripples reach my life. The resurrection ripples meet my confusing, challenging, chaotic days with the power of the risen Lord. And sometimes we're bewildered. That's a word you probably haven't used in a while, but you've been there. What's happening? What in the world is going on? Why hasn't God answered my prayer? Or why did he say no? Or why hasn't this worked out? Or why is this timing seem to be all messed up? And we're bewildered. Easter says you can be trembling and you can be bewildered and you can still be filled with joy. You can still be filled with a sense of awe and wonder because Jesus is alive. Can I explain it? No. But it's true. I can experience it. And you can too. And many of you have. Many of you know that because of the resurrection of Christ, that when you put your faith in Christ, when you said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life. He did. And you know what it's like to have that fellowship with God restored. You know what it's like to face the challenges of life. You're sitting here today, and maybe you're going back in your memory to a period of time, maybe not too long ago, when you didn't know if you could make it. But you did. And you're sitting in God's house on Easter Sunday as a living testimony to the resurrection power of Christ. Easter does not do away with the things that cause fear and trembling, but it does fill us with the power to face those fears, to face that bewilderment, to face those uncertainties, and to face it with confidence and trust and even a deep-seated joy. Because we know how the story's going to end. You know, it's like, and I'm flashing back to my work all those years as a healthcare chaplain. You know, people who are believers aren't afraid of being dead. You know, we might be afraid of how you were going to get there, you know, because the process of dying is not pleasant. But for a believer, heaven after death, we had the privilege of going to see Mark Lowry in concert a few weeks ago. And he was talking about this. He said, you can't scare me with heaven. He said, heaven's waiting on me when I die. You can't scare me with heaven. Always bugs me when you ask somebody, how you doing? They say, well, I'm not doing so good, but it's better than the alternative. Well, not if you're a Christian, it's not. If you're a Christian and heaven is the alternative, sorry, Augusta ain't better than heaven. That's resurrection ripples. We will have fear and trembling through the process. But oh, the end of the story. And on this earth, as we see, man, the chaos and confusion. Don't have religious symbols on your Easter eggs at the White House Easter egg hunt. You know, the chaos and confusion and spiritual battle going on in our world today is troubling. It's enough to fill you with fear and trembling. But we do know how it's going to end. And we do know that the risen Lord will rule and reign forever. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We just got to get there. But I'm so thankful that in the process of the getting there, we have the resurrection ripples that can fill us, that can refresh us, that can renew us, that can keep our joy alive, that can keep our faith and our hope thriving because we know Jesus. Earlier this morning, we sang Because He Lives, written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. I heard Gloria tell the story behind that song. They had just had their baby girl. And she said she was sitting in a rocking chair and she was with the baby and, you know, postpartum had hit hard. And she said, I got to thinking about the world. And this is many years ago. So I got to thinking about how messed up the world was. And did we really want to bring a child into this world? And she said, I was just sobbing. I was broken at the thought of bringing this little girl into this world. And she said, the Lord said, because I live, you can face tomorrow. We didn't sing the second verse where she says, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy it brings, but sweeter still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. We can face the uncertainty of today and all the tomorrows because of the resurrection. So thank you, Carl. The resurrection ripples reach to my heart today. They reach to my life today. And they make me more than a conqueror. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You are alive, You are well, that after Your death and Your resurrection, You went back up to heaven. And the scripture says, You said, You're preparing a place for us. And You're going to come again and receive us to Yourself so that where You are, we can be too. So many of our friends are already there enjoying that. We're looking forward to that day when we will see them again, that resurrection day. But in the meantime, Father, thank You that while we wait for the final end of things, of You coming back and setting up Your kingdom for eternity, we're so thankful that that resurrection power is active and involved in our lives today. That we don't have to face the things that cause us to tremble in our own strength. Sure, by ourselves, we are unable to handle these things, but You never ask us to do it by ourselves. You are with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And Your resurrection power flows in our lives today. We're so thankful for that. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine on you and give you His peace as you live in His resurrection power, now and evermore. Amen. Happy Easter. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for being here today. You're dismissed. And you can